I guess the first thing to do is to make sure we've got the right human being. You look like the right human being, but would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, this is Josh Rouse. That's who you're talking to.
Is that who I'm? Who you talk? You talking to me? That's what this is going to be, huh? Okay, so let's start with some revisionist history. And of course, if I ask you anything you don't want to answer, feel free to, you know, answer a different question. But revisionist history, your last album, Nashville, kind of represented a major life change that I can relate to because I've been through that same life change in the past couple of years, and my listeners know that. Now, in your case, it took you from Nashville all the way to Spain. So was that both an artistic and an emotional decision, and how did you choose Spain out of all the places in the world that you were going to take your life and your music to?
Well, I like Spain a lot. I had toured there before, and I had some friends there. I had a girlfriend there as well, so that kind of was a good reason to go over there.
Yeah, I'd say all of those add up to friends, girlfriend, liking the place. Those are all good, worthy reasons. So now I'm going to totally, I took French, so excuse me, but subtitulo, did I do it right?
Subtitulo.
I was close. So your producer, Brad Jones, is the same, but the songs to me, I don't want to put labels on how the songs sound different, but this is very different from you know, the last album, you know, the same producer. And I read somewhere it has to do with the Mediterranean and Bossa Nova and your surroundings and all of that. Or you could just tell me it doesn't sound different at all.
No, I think it sounds different. I mean, I think we made a decision to kind of do an acoustic record. I started my own label, so I thought, hey, I'll do something that's kind of economically smart and kind of strip everything down and do kind of a record that I can tour more easily and something I wanted to do for a while, you know, nylon string and vocal and I think you know, we definitely set out to kind of make a summer record, you know. And I was listening to a lot of Bossa Nova, and Brad's really educated in that music, so it worked out well. Yeah.
And you see right there, new label. So is Bedroom Sounds, did you just approach Network and say, you know, you're a cool, you know, relatively big indie label, and I want to get the music out there, but I also want my freedom because this is my label?
Well, I had just started my own thing, and I recorded the record. We didn't have anyone in particular that was going to put it out. And then we kind of found Network, and they really like what I was doing, and they kind of do artist-run labels, so it seemed like the best. They could actually do it internationally, so that seemed like the best thing to do.
Yeah, they have a great mix. There's no defining what's on that label. Something shows up, and they'll say, are you going to play it? And I'll say, well, I'll have to listen, because I don't have any expectations of what's going to be on that label.
Yeah, they've got a lot of different, they manage artists, and they also put out records, so they've got a big roster.
Okay, so I went to iTunes just because everybody has to, and I noticed that Love Vibrations from 1972 is still your number one download, but three tracks for the new album are right behind it. So that's kind of cool because the new album's pretty new.
I think about 25% of my fan base is like downloading the record off iTunes now, so or digitally, so it's good. Yeah.
Isn't that cool for that kind of music though? Because you know, you do look at, you know, at least I know when I started with all the downloadable thing, it was all the real indie metal whatever. So it's really kind of changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, everyone's getting iPods and MP3 players, and it's just a quicker way to do it. You know, they don't have to carry around a CD and. So it's good. Then I don't have to manufacture anything. So it
well, that's true too. As a record company mogul.
Yeah, it's nice because it allows you to put out things more often, and it's just easier, and it eliminates the middleman, which is nice.
So Paco Loco looks like quite the interesting environment to work in. Just I watched a little video of the making. Mm-hmm. Just due to the proprietor alone, he looks like. I love the hair and the whole. So tell me a little bit about that whole experience and how you got there and what we don't see about him in that video.
Well, he likes to pull down his pants a lot. I don't know why.
But nice.
He likes to tell jokes, you know, in English.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, Paco Loco.
Paco Loco.
Yeah. And he's kind of a big indie rock producer in Spain, and I found out about him through some friends, and I met him in. You know, he had a nice place with a pool, and we ate outside every day, and that was real relaxing, a good place to make this record, you know, and you know, he's kind of one of those eBay shoppers. He's always buying musical equipment on eBay, and he likes basketball and baseball. And it's just kind of
so he's got all sorts of weird toys in there too.
Yeah. The studio was fun. It had a lot of vintage equipment that sometimes worked and sometimes it didn't. But
what's interesting is that the reviews that I've read of this album, people have finally stopped categorizing him, saying, well, he listened to the Smiths when he was young and he did this. So how does it feel to finally be at that moment where people are actually criticizing or evaluating or looking at your music because it's a Josh Rouse record and not because he had all these influences that he's put in a pot and combined them to make this thing?
I really don't pay attention that much, to be honest. I mean, it's my sixth record, so I kind of, you know, there's good and bad reviews all the time, and people get it sometimes and they don't get it, but I kind of learn to avoid that stuff and just keep doing what I'm doing, you know? If I pay too much attention to that stuff, I just kind of get sidetracked, you know?
And life is hard enough.
Yeah, I just like to think about creating music and not really, you know, if it sounds like something in particular, or if it is derivative or something, you know, that's okay.
Okay, so now I'm going to go into the deep dark waters of comparison for a second, because I was just handed an advance on the new Paul Simon record, which was really kind of special to me, and I heard, and then it was funny because I listened to that, and then I listened to Jersey Clowns, and I thought, wow, wait a minute. You know, what was interesting about the songwriting, there was a interview with Paul Simon a while back where he talks about the craft of songwriting and that it is the most painful thing he ever does. That writing a song for him, people think, oh, Paul Simon, I'm one of the greatest, you know, the great American songbook and all that. But writing for him is just absolutely this devastatingly painful. He hates it with a passion. So I was listening to Jersey Clowns, and I thought, well, this is very much that kind of song, that the lyrics and the songwriting, you know, there was a lot of personal pain in there and all of that. It was about a marriage and, you know, someone going off with another man and et cetera, et cetera. So tell me about your songwriting, and is it painful for you? Is it fun? All of that sort of thing.
No, I don't think it's painful at all. I think that's one of the funnest parts is coming up with the songs, you know. You know, lyrically, a lot of what I do is fiction, you know? So, it's kind of fun to think of these little stories, you know?
People probably don't think so, though, do they? Don't people try to immediately read it into your life?
That's kind of the thing of being a singer-songwriter, because you're singing it. Everything, oh, this is about him, you know, instead of just someone like Tom Waits, who obviously isn't, you know, hanging out with midgets.
It might be about him, but you never know.
You know, you know, I don't think people realize that a lot of what I do is just kind of, you know, I might draw off someone I've seen or someone I've known in the past, and that might be the idea, but then I'll just make up a story. So it's fun. That's kind of the writing creative part that I really like. And I mean, there's some songs that can be really hard to finish. You know, you start a lot of songs and you never finish them. I think that's one of the hardest things. But no, writing it and recording it to me is the funnest part. Yeah.
So on The Man Who, you share vocals. So tell me about your partner in crime, because she's wonderful.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend, Paz Swat.
Ah, okay.
And she'll be performing the concert this evening. She's on tour with me, so. That just kind of, she just sang around the house, and I had that song written. I thought, oh, this might be interesting done as a duet, you know? And we kind of, I said, hey, come down to the studio, because it was just, she could just drive down to the studio, and she came down to the studio, and it was the first time singing. She was really nervous, and she did it in a couple takes, and that was it.
Must have had a good producer.
Yeah, yeah.
good partner to help her along with confidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she didn't like it at first. I think anytime you record your vocal, you record your voice at first, it makes you uncomfortable to hear yourself.
Nobody,
you know,
likes their own voice.
No.
Nobody.
So it worked out well. Yeah.
So since the album is a silly question, but since the album's title means subtitle, have you considered doing a video with subtitles? There are a lot of worthy stories in the songs that you could do a little.
Yeah, I should do that. I haven't thought about it. We did one video that was shot in Altea called Quiet Town, where
I
lived. And
you could do subtitles and have the subtitles totally represent something completely different.
Yeah, that would be funny. Yeah,
kind of Monty Python.
Sue George kind of did David Bowie songs, but the lyrics are actually not the David Bowie lyrics.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, it's got possibilities. So speaking of singer-songwriter, do you ever wish you were in a band so the singer-songwriter thing would go away? I mean, was Leonard Cohen or Jeff Buckley ever called a singer-songwriter? You know, and I mean, it's not even like you get an automatic slash. There's a slash dividing what you are.
Yeah.
It's not friendly.
I tried really hard to think of band names when I started, and I couldn't find anything.
The Rouse.
Yeah, the Rouse. I couldn't find anything I thought I could stick. I thought, you know, I'd be able to stick with for long enough. You know, 5 years, I would just hate the name or something. So this was the best way to go. I mean, it has its limitations, definitely. You know, singer songwriter, you kind of get thrown in there, and.
But the definitions of who's a singer-songwriter is just, it's so dumb, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people doing it these days, and, you know, it's all.
Whatever happened to musician?
Yeah.
I'm a musician.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Yeah.
You think Spain is going to be your home for a long time?
Yeah, I've got an apartment there. My girlfriend and I live there, so I think we're going to go to New York next year and live there for a while, but we'll always have that apartment so we can go back and forth, so.
So it looks like you're on tour until June, so you've got a ways to go before you sleep at home again. So
Yeah. The
touring thing for you, well, at least you're with your girlfriend, so it must feel a little more like home to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's exhausting, man. It's a lot of work. Just traveling, you know, in and out of different cities every day, you know, and playing, singing concerts night after night. It takes a lot of energy, so.
Not your favorite thing, is it? Of the whole, I'm a musician, it's not your favorite. I can just feel. You're sitting here doing the interview and you're saying, all right, I'm talking to another guy and then I have to go do sound check and then I have to.
Yeah, it's not. I don't mind playing the concerts and, you know. You know, it depends. If I've got a couple shows a month or something, that's fun and that's good to do. But then you get on these months of touring and it just gets exhausting. You just want to sit down and watch a movie. You just don't have time to do anything. You know?
You kind of lose touch with the real world, don't you?
Yeah. You're kind of living in a weird bubble or something. Yeah.
Is there any city that you just would love to just play for the rest of your life, or one that you would easily do without playing again?
I don't like touring in Germany. In general, I don't know why. I've always had a horrible experience there.
The food, and
yeah, two tours.
Food's
there.
Kinda heavy.
No one ever comes, and the place is really gross. And if there's a place that I could play all the time, let's see. You know, I think New York's fun. You know, I'm thinking about doing a residency there actually.
That'd
I always play
cool.
Pretty big places. Like, I just played Town Hall, which is kind of a bigger place.
Yeah,
it'd be
great
fun.
Venue.
I like doing Joe's Pub, you know. I played there a few, you know, it's a small
there
place.
There are a lot of fabulous venues.
Yeah,
there.
Just little
I'm
places.
I'm from there originally,
there.
So I kind of have a little prejudice.
Yeah. But that's a good city to play. It's fun, you know. Just take your guitar and go down to the club.
You notice I didn't ask the influences question because nobody needs to hear about, you know, all your favorites from your childhood. So we do a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of the songs of yours as the bread, and then anything you want me to play in between from other artists.
You could play My Love Has Gone, which is one of my songs, and you could play His Majesty Rides. That would be good.
So those are the two bread.
Okay. And then
pile
you'd have
of fillings.
Okay. Richard Hawley,
yes.
The Ocean. That song. The new 07 with Jose Gonzalez is singing on it. It's called Futures. What else? Laura Veers from Seattle, Secret Sometimes. I like that song. The Clientele. God, what's a good song by The Clientele? K. They have a song called K. What else would I pick? Let's see. Sue George, we talked about him. Play something from him, maybe. How about Changes? He does David Bowie's Changes, and that's funny. Georgie Ben, Mas Que Nada. Some Brazilian stuff in there. How about, let's see. There's a guy from Brooklyn, a New York guy. Bill Racchini is his name. What's the name of? I have to think of the name of some of his songs. When the Morning Comes, Marvin Gaye, Where Are We Going? It's a song called Where Are We Going? The Long Winters, they have a song called, what's that song I like so much? It's a couple years old, but War, Spill the Wine.
Well, they, gosh, why didn't we think of that sooner?